T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's time for our weekly visit with one of the greatest NFL insiders of all time. He's in the know and has been for a long, long time. Braddock's Own, the Hall of Famer in his own right, the great John Clayton, brought to you by your local Nissan dealers. Baker Mayfield, a shoulder injury, John. He won't play tomorrow night. Case Keenum goes in. Is this a short-term thing, a one-week thing? Give us your take on what's going on at the quarterback position in Cleveland.
Well, I mean, right now, I think this could be a multiple-week thing because he's got a completely torn labrum in his left shoulder. It's completely torn. And that's why on a short week, you know, he tried, but he just wasn't able to do it. Now, again, he'll have the extra days to be able to rest for the next week, but you have to kind of wonder, torn labrum? I mean, that's serious. Mm-hmm. And a torn labrum is not going to get better because it's not going to be untorn or anything else. So you have to kind of wonder where that's going to take him. So right now it doesn't look encouraging.
Well, John, more than just his injury status, Case Keenum is going to play in this game. And Case Keenum has familiarity with Kevin Stefanski. Stefanski was the quarterback's coach that one year where Minnesota with Keenum at the helm went 13-3. If Keenum comes in and plays well, and then he gets another start against the Steelers on Halloween, plays well there, what really is there to stop Kevin Stefanski and the Browns from saying, why would we stop rolling with this guy? It's not like he's just any old backup here. There's a real relationship with him and with the head coach.
He's a backup. And so it's going to they'll go back when Baker Mayfield's healthy to Baker Mayfield because, I mean, he's the starting quarterback. And so it's just a matter of the health that's keeping Baker Mayfield out. And Case Keenum, it's funny because I was looking at some ratings of different backup quarterbacks, and some actually have Case Keenum listed as the best backup quarterback in the league, which I have to say, if he's the best backup quarterback in the league, there's a lot of bad backups out there because, again, he's good, but he's not great. But, again, anytime you go to a backup, it's like that the solid line is that you can have him come off the bench and he can win you 3 games. If you play him 6, he'll lose you 3 games.
John, is Baker Mayfield in position right now to get that big extension from the Browns this offseason?
No, not at all. No, in fact, if anything, it's like they're going to have to either, you know, get the transition tag or the 50-year option or franchise or anything like that. But a long-term deal, I don't think he put himself in a position to earn it. You know, he's been, you know, I mean, you can see that where, you know, Dak Prescott and Josh Allen and these other quarterbacks have been, you know, are able to carry teams and be the quarterback. He's a complementary quarterback. And what I mean by complementary, you know, he has to be surrounded by good talent to be able to make the playoffs. But let's say, for example, if you put Baker Mayfield in the playoffs, how's he going to do? He's got so many other better quarterbacks in the AFC that the chances of him doing anything are not good.
Well, he needed the center to snap it over the quarterback's head on the first play here to win a playoff game in Pittsburgh last year.
Yeah.
So I agree with what you're saying. Really,
yeah,
but I kind of thought the Browns had built that type of team around Mayfield this year, though, to be honest with you.
Oh, they did. Injuries are catching up to them. I mean, their 2 tackles are hurt. You know, they don't have their top 2 running backs. Remember, this team turned around last year with the ability to have a great 1-2 punch in the backfield. Well, then what ends up happening is that great 1-2 punch is now injured. you know, because you know, they had to put they're not going to be able to do anything with Nick Chubb this week. He's hurt, and then you're looking at the other running back. I mean, he's not already on injured reserve, and so you take away four starters from the offense. They're not the same starters, and so he's not surrounded by as much. Then, of course, then you look at Odell Beckham Jr. He has a third-degree AC sprain in his shoulder, and so I don't know if he's going to be able to play tomorrow night.
John, long-term with Mayfield and the Browns, do you really think he's their guy, that this is going to work out? Because he's not Andrew Berry's guy. That was a John Dorsey pick in 2018, and Berry's been on the job 2 years running now. Do you sense this as a relationship that's destined to go its separate way here in the next couple of seasons?
I very well could, because, again, if you don't get a long-term deal, then you're in a short-term situation. And, you know, if it doesn't get better, then you're looking for something else. So much of it has to be the type of draft and where they're drafting to see if you can get some kind of a better quarterback. But I think that it could be heading in that direction.
Do you think they'll trade Odell Beckham Jr. in the next couple of weeks?
No. He's hurt. Got a third-degree AC sprain, and I can't imagine anybody. And again,
do you think they'd want to if they could?
They might. They might. I wouldn't guarantee it, but again, it's like, you want as much talent as possible. Because also, understand that Jarvis Landry's hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a bigger deal because Mayfield likes him.
OBJ was out and they made the playoffs without him last year,
yeah,
Chris.
It seems, John, as wild as it is, you say you want as much talent as possible. It almost seems like Mayfield is trying to impress Beckham, or feels like I don't know. There's
pressure to get the ball to
him. An insecurity factor there with that relationship that I think hurts that football team.
Yeah, I mean, right now, you can definitely see when he's throwing the ball to Odell Beckham Jr., they're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can see he still has a talent to be able to get downfield and do it, but they're not on the same page. So it's not a talent issue. It's a performance issue and efficiency.
John Clayton is our guest Wednesdays at 3 o'clock. He is brought to you by Salem's Market and Grill on Penn Avenue in the Strip. John, when you take stock of the Steelers at the bye week, got back to .500, 2 wins in a row, how do you view them in the AFC pecking order, totem pole, kind of thing? Like, where are they in your mind right now?
A wild card team. A team that can get the 6th or 7th playoff spot. That's the way I look at them now. Baltimore is right now in a position to start running away with a division. And you can see that Cleveland right now is just pretty much average because of the injuries, all those different things. So, I look at them as a potential wild card team, and that's why the game coming up against Cleveland is going to be defining, because where you can see for Pittsburgh, it's like, okay, which of the two teams are better?
Do you look at the Bengals as they're a game ahead of the Steelers in the standings, and they have a win over the Steelers head-to-head, obviously. Do you look at them as being pretty for real when you evaluate the AFC, John?
I'm still skeptical, but they're certainly doing a lot of good things, and there's no doubt they hit on the right quarterback in Joe Burrow, and you can see that they have gotten better on defense. So maybe they can squeeze out a wild card spot too.
I'll tell you what, they got killed, and I was right there at the front of the line giving them crap for it, John. They picked the right guy. Chase over Sewell was the right call for them. I mean, Chase is probably, would you say right now, the offensive rookie of the year in football?
Very well. No, I mean, I'm still looking down at Atlanta with Pitts. So, Pitts is now really starting to come on. So I think that it's Chase and Pitts right now battling for the offensive player.
John, when you look at the Ravens, one of the things obviously it's impressive what they've done, and now Ronnie Stanley's done for the year, so the Villanueva signing looks almost fortuitous because they can just slide him across to his more natural position. Are you looking at them as a team that has gone through all these injuries and is just going to come out better on the other side, and this is what they're going to be? Or do you think that the play that they have put forth so far to get to 5-1 kind of has an expiration date on it? Like, eventually it'll just be too much to overcome for them.
At some point it's going to catch up to you because, again, they've had so many injuries, and it's not like they're stopping. And you still wonder, can the quarterback be able to continue to do what he does? Because, I mean, he's remarkable because nobody can stop him when he runs the football.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, and you can see he's got nicked up a little bit, he has the sore back, all those different things. But, you know, Lamar Jackson has just been incredible for how good he is. But, you know, can it continue without an injury?
John, Chris Collinsworth called Cam Hayward a Hall of Famer Sunday night. Do you share that same opinion?
No.
What is it about Hayward that keeps him out in your book? Besides, obviously, not good enough, I know, being like the simplest answer there.
I mean, you have to be one of the most dominating players at the position, and say what you want. Stephon Tuitt, you know, is better when he's healthy because, what, he had 11 sacks last year and all that stuff. I mean, you know, it's like you have to be so unique to be in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, you've seen so many players from the stupid Hall of Famer. I mean, please.
I'm a little interested then in what you'd say about a guy who has a similar sort of arc to his career on the defensive line, John, who's more, I guess I would call him a bit of a late bloomer. What about a guy like Calais Campbell?
Debatable. I mean, he'd be in a better spot, I think, right now than Hayward, but you know, he's had a great career. He's had a lot of sacks, a lot of different things. I mean, he might be a consideration.
What do you make of...
Remember, we only have five spots to vote in each year.
Good point. I think I agree with you on Hayward. I think he's a Steelers Hall of Famer, but I don't think
Aaron Donald being in the league right now is like a nice little bellwether for like every other defensive lineman, right, John?
That doesn't change anything. Again, it's like Aaron Donald is, you know, I think right now you have to look at him as one of the greatest defensive players
of
all time. History of the game.
I agree.
I mean, right now he's up there with Reggie White and some of the great ones like that, but you know, that's the type of level you need to be to go into the Hall of Fame because, again, there's only five spots there each year, and there's always going to be carryovers of guys that were voted into the top 10 that didn't make it, and they're going to take out spots. And then you have, you know, first-timers, like, for example, when Aaron Donald goes 5 years after his retirement, I mean, he'll be a first-ballot Hall of Famer.
We watched the Titans and Bills game Monday night, and I'm sure you did too. And there's no Manning cast now, so we get to watch just the football broadcast, provided DirecTV doesn't screw us over.
I was going to say, you assume John watched it. Did we want to at least clarify that was able to take place because DirecTV didn't mess you up?
I was able to watch it. I mean, if I recorded it, I've been able to keep it. But in the end, it's like I still. I lost, 12 years of all my stuff on DirecTV, everything that I had taped. So that's not there. But again, this game was, on ESPN.
Yep.
We get ESPN on DirecTV.
So the fourth down call McDermott made with the sneak where Allen slipped, there's now mounting evidence, more information out there that coaches are very aggressive on fourth down now. It's becoming a bigger trend around the league. When John Clayton talks to people around the NFL, what are they saying about this surge in coaches being very aggressive on fourth down and going for it, John?
Well, I mean, part of it is that, and again, I'm of the old school. I think too many coaches are doing it, and I thought McDermott made the mistake in doing it the time he did it, because I think he should have gone for the field goal and take the game into overtime. Because, hey, if you don't get it, you lose. He didn't get it, he lost. But I think what it comes down to is it started with all the younger coaches, particularly the offensive head coaches that came in that are young and are calling plays and doing stuff like that. So they got hot on it, and then some of the veteran coaches got hot on it. I mean, Mike Tomlin, if I'm not mistaken, is now one as a veteran coach that's doing it more than he's ever done it before. But again, I think sometimes it gets to be too much.
John, I want to ask you about another guy. The other guy of note in that Monday night game is Derrick Henry. How close is he to Hall of Fame status already in his career? I mean, that is freakish to watch, and you don't say that very often in a league full of freaks that a guy completely stands out above the rest, but that's something else to watch him run the football.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, probably needs, obviously, a couple more years because, again, it's like, you don't want to be like a Terrell Davis where you have 4 years where you gain 6,400 yards and then it takes 11 years to get into the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, the way he's heading right now, because remember, he didn't play much or didn't play hard. I mean, he played as a backup his first 2 years, so he's now starting to get into the groove of his starting role, because it really started, in 2018? And now, you know, he's got the good chance to have back-to-back 2,000 seasons. But the way he's going, he's heading in that direction.
John Clayton, our guest. What did you make of Mike Tomlin raising a stink with officials at the end of regulation Sunday night, then going bananas in his press conference and calling it embarrassing, and I guess intimating to some reporters on his way up to the press conference that he's fine with getting a fine from the NFL, that he was going to speak the truth about what happened at the end of regulation there, John?
I didn't understand it, to be honest with you. I know it was at the end of the game and all those different things, but what did we really see that was wrong? I'll ask you that.
We agree. John,
well,
we said the same.
I don't think that they should have reviewed that play for being a fumble there, which is what Tomlin at first got mad about, but it seemed very evident from the television broadcast that the Seattle Seahawks were going to get 1 second left to kick that field
goal. Yeah, that was our take on it, John. Whether that play got reviewed or not, Seattle was still going to have a second or two left to try a field goal to win the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and particularly, you know, in a critical part of a game, a close game like that, if you need a review, you get a review. And I think in that case, a review was needed. I mean, again, it shouldn't take that long, but I didn't see it to be one that should cause him to be upset other than the results.
All right, John. Great to talk to you, man. We'll do it again next week, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
There you go, John Clayton.
Man, the DirecTV beef, it's still very much there.
I know.
I kind of wanted to get him going, and he didn't disappoint. You can tell he's just raging at
I got him. A little bit of axe to grind with them, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I can't get it. I have one of those Roku TVs.
Okay.
The app
doesn't work.
Doesn't work on it.
And that's your Sunday Ticket conduit.
It is. There's a Sunday Ticket app that I should be able to watch on it, but I guess now the neighborhood I live in, I'm out. Whatever. You have to put your address in, and it says it's...
Oh, no.
It's banned in where...
Banned?
Yes, it's banned.
You got to get somebody on the phone from them.
No. Maybe I need to file a complaint with
the
Better BBB. Business Bureau like
the
John
Better
did.
Business Bureau just getting their ears turning red because John and Andrew and everybody else just filing complaint after complaint.
I sent out a tweet about it a couple weeks ago that said something like, I'm sure my 2.5 million followers... He just absolutely flexed.
It's a big flex.
And humble bragged. I'm sure my 2.5 million followers would be so upset to hear that DirecTV has a shady...
God, he really does have 1.3 million people
following
him. I know,
man. He kills it. He's a legend.
No, I know. It's just... I got 30,000, and I think that's, like, inconceivable.
I mean, it's just surreal to me, and people might think this sounds weird, but it's just crazy that I talk to John Clayton every week when I used to, in my pajamas, Sunday morning, watch him on ESPN NFL Countdown from wherever the biggest game was. There he is pregame talking to Chris Berman and Tom Jackson. And
do you have that
else.
With athletes? Because like it's a
not really.
I don't have it in either case. I don't know what – I think you and I both agreed on this. The one time we both felt that way about a guest in recent memory was when Joe Namath came on.
That was wild.
And we felt like it was larger than life.
I called my aunt after that one.
We talked to – so every Wednesday we get to talk, because of you, thank you, Pony, to Ryan Clark, a guy who I watched nearly decapitate Willis McGahee on a football field. Mm-hmm. And it – nothing about it feels out of the ordinary. It's just like, this is what I do. I go to work and I talk to people. I don't know. I don't have that same feeling. You, journalists, anybody I grew up watching like John.
Craig, isn't it crazy that you make small talk with John Clayton every Wednesday?
It blows my mind.
So wait, in the moment, you still can't believe it? Because I think we're all professionals, and like you just are on there. You're like, hey, John, thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you again next week. You maybe may ask him about a bet or something.
What blows my mind is the conversations we have before he goes on with you guys. Because he likes to chat it up a little bit. So we've talked about things like, oh, how's the situation out west? How are you doing?
He takes little digs at the Pirates sometimes.
Like restaurants he's gone to, food he's eaten.
I would think that would demystify things even more because you're talking to him and realizing he, like you, is a normal average Joe, so to speak.
But I get to have that conversation with him still, and it's not lost.
I don't know why. I stopped. I don't know why. That feeling went away after a while. I think you're in the job long enough. You just, it's a job, and it's part of the job.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.